We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use that promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
I mean, it was Wednesday when the show ended.
It was Wednesday
yesterday.
last night.
Second show of the day.
Yeah, right?
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Jason Woski with Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. Today, we are going to reveal, if you did not read it on allchgo.com, and you should have, Mario's draft board 1.0. We're going to talk about which Blackhawks are available, which Blackhawks have value, and who are the most, appealing Blackhawks on the trade market as the March 4th deadline approaches.
March 3rd.
March 3rd deadline approaches. I knew that. It was
There's another deadline
night.
On March 4th, or anniversary, rather.
That's right. We'll get that then. But before we get started, make sure you smash that like button on the YouTube channel. Make sure you're subscribed as well. If you're listening on the podcast app, that's cool too. Make sure you're subscribed or following us there as well. And leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Literally takes 30 seconds to do and really helps us out a ton when you do that. And every now and again, I like to remind people that a 4-star review is basically a 0-star review. So don't do that. It's 5 or nothing. So please leave us a 5-star review on your preferred podcast app. So before we get rolling, we were texting before the show and chatting before the show, and Mario caught a little something from Frank Saravalli as it pertains to Jake McCabe.
Yeah. We've been talking about the Blackhawks potentially having a defenseman on the move, Connor Murphy, Jake McCabe, one of those guys. And it looks like, now this is all qualified as Frank Saravalli's information, but it looks like Jake McCabe could be getting a lot of interest on the trade market. Saravalli reported that Edmonton has called, the LA Kings have called, and the Toronto Maple Leafs have called about McCabe and Murphy as well, but McCabe more or less seems to be the bigger target with good reason. What we've been hearing about McCabe is, he has a 7-team no trade list. And why 7 teams? Well, there's 7 teams in Canada. And this is according to Saravalli. This isn't silly make it up. Toronto is not part of that 7-team list. So it is not all of the Canadian teams, in fact, that are on McCabe's list. If I'm the Maple Leafs, a team that needs help on defense, and they want to come to Chicago and the Kyle D's want to make up from last year's trade deadline snafu. McCabe makes all the sense for the Maple Leafs to go and help their defensive depth. He's a guy that could play pretty much in any NHL top four. And he has 2 years left on his contract after this season at $4 million. He is well worth that. But the Blackhawks are going to have some money to work with or some salary cap space to work with. You can only retain on a certain number amount of contracts. I think it's three. So depending on what happens with, you know, Kane and Taze, you know, this may or may not be an option, but they could retain on Jake McCabe, make him $2 million player for Toronto, like a team that needs help with the cap. Could you get a first round pick out of them for that? A top four defenseman at $2 million for the next 2 years.
I mean, if you're
that's a very intriguing
your window is now. Auston Matthews is a free agent in 2 years. Not saying they can't re-sign him, but it's going to be tough. They've got some big decisions to make.
Well, it's Matthews or Marner. One of the two.
They're losing one of them.
Yeah.
And Nylander, too.
Yeah. So this is the time. And draft picks are great and are important and all those things. But the goal here is to win the Stanley Cup. And this is the Leafs' best chance to win a Stanley Cup probably in my lifetime, or at least in my hockey fandom, bless you. This is their best shot. And draft picks be damned, man. They have the longest cold streak in hockey. They are arguably the biggest and most popular franchise in the game. This is their shot. And bringing in Jake McCabe for $2 million for 2 years, that's a no-brainer to me.
That sounds like the same conversation we had about Marc-Andre Fleury in the Maple Leafs last year, and Kyle Dubas proved he didn't have the sack to pull off that kind of deal. But this year could be different because it's the last year of his contract.
He's a lame duck right
now.
And
he could say, screw it, I don't give an F about the future around here because I probably won't be back unless I win a Stanley Cup. So that being said, he's probably going to be a little more gutsy this time around. However, we need to stop the whole, we're going to get Matthew Nyes for Jake McCabe. That's not going to happen.
No.
I know Saravalli said that, like, in a report that they have interest in McCabe, comma, Matthew Nyes is not untouchable. Those are
it was
not,
two separate thoughts. Well, yes.
They were not.
Period, paragraph.
If he's willing to give Matthew Nyes for Jake McCabe, they need to, like, fire him immediately because that.
No, they don't. They need to make that trade and then fire him.
True. Yeah, exactly. But, like, so I know, like, they saw McCabe and Nyes in the same sentence and people were like, hey,
separate thoughts. Yeah,
that would be great. Yeah, that would be an amazing deal, but it's not going to happen. Like, you want to do some crazy stuff where you figure out a way to patch to, you know, add a Jonathan Toews and a Jake McCabe, maybe.
I don't think you can make that money work.
No, no. So, like,
but yeah,
I know people saw the Nyes stuff mentioned in the same tweet as McCabe, and some people got excited. It's just, it's not going to happen.
That would be great.
Well, and Nyes would be a guy that would be traded for a Bo Horvat.
Yeah.
Somebody like that, not your second line defender.
Yeah. And I think, you know, again, this was Saravalli kind of putting his guesstimations on things, but he was saying that if the Blackhawks were to retain and Toronto were to make a deal for McCabe at $2 million per year with retained money, they Blackhawks could probably get a first-round pick out of that. If there was no retained money, you could look at Toronto giving up a second-round pick and a B-level prospect. Now, that's not Matthew Nyes, but maybe a guy who's playing locally right now, Nick Moldenhauer, who we liked from the Chicago Steel going into this year's draft. Like, that could be someone that the Blackhawks could get in that kind of deal, a second round pick, a mid-level prospect, and make it worth
so that's interesting. And the definition of B level depends on who you talk to.
For sure.
Because I think there are some people that would say Lucas Reichel is a B level prospect. He's not a sure thing. Looks good so far. Hasn't totally proven it at the NHL level yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doesn't project to superstar status, probably good to very good status.
Yeah.
Right? So would that be considered a B-level prospect? If that's the case, yes. I'd almost rather do that, a second and that, mm-hmm. than a first.
Right, two assets instead of one. Yeah. But if it's a first this year.
Yeah. There's still lottery tickets, though.
Right.
How many times have we gone back and looked at first rounds, you know, through the years and said,
it's also like, currency, though. I mean, if you were to make this kind of deal and you make it so a team like Toronto or Edmonton or LA, or the teams that have been reportedly really interested in Jake McCabe, if you were to get a first round pick out of those teams, you're talking about late teens, 20s, you know, depending on where they end up in the postseason. But you could package that with Tampa's pick, two picks in the 20s to get into the early teens. Like, you could do something like that. Like, it's there's a lot of flexibility that Kyle Davidson could have.
You might like two top 10 picks maybe in this draft. It's realistic.
It's the possibilities are endless.
Yeah,
two top 10 picks, like, you know, let's ride. Like, let's yeah. go. Like, that gets me excited.
Yeah, I know. I kind of like the idea of a prospect and a second round pick, because you already got two first round or second round picks, so that's three in the second round. So again, you could start packing those. You could package two of those three. If there's a guy early second round you have to have, he's on your board, and you could package two of those picks to move up and then get the prospect. Because at some point, as we've said, the Hawks need to start getting guys that are quicker to that are going to be closer to being actual NHL players than guys you take in the first through sixth round this year. You got to get guys that could play for Rockford next year and possibly the Blackhawks as soon as next year or the following. You got to start getting some actual prospects that can be in your organization playing professionally in the next year.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But we're, you know, what's interesting about the Saravalli report is we could really be looking at a scenario where Jake McCabe is the Hawks' biggest trade deadline asset. Because when you factor in the low salary, the term, all that stuff, like Patrick Kane, sure, is the biggest name for sure, right? But it's going to take a lot to get him. You're going to have to – he's done after this year. You got to make the cap money fit so you're limited to how many teams can afford him, not to mention limited to how many teams
he wants to go to.
Right.
Right? So that limits the value in return. So there's a shot that, like, Jake McCabe could bring back the biggest haul of this trade deadline, which would be crazy to think about, but there seems to be massive demand for Jake McCabe, and I would love to know who that seventh team is.
Right,
The non-Canadian team.
If it's six Canadian teams, not Toronto and someone else.
The Blues.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's St. Louis.
Could it be St. Louis?
Maybe it's Buffalo. Maybe he doesn't want to go back there.
That could
been there, done that.
Yeah, been there, done that.
I mean, hey, would he want to go back now? And they're like...
Maybe.
In a playoff?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Well, we should maybe try and find that out, who that other team is.
Yes, let's ask him.
I tried a little bit today to reach out to some sources, and from what everyone's very tight-lipped right now.
Sure.
Which is understandable. So
it's probably one of those things we'll find out after the trade was made.
Yes.
Right.
When it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
we should.
Yeah, it's just fun, man. It's a fun time of year. I love transactions. I love drafts. I love free agency. Mm-hmm. And trade deadlines, this one's going to be – this is the biggest one they've had in decades.
In a very long time.
This is just going to dictate the future of their franchise.
Yeah, and two players really holding a lot of, if not all of the cards for it right now, because, you know, we talked a little bit about it last night, but Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, they've had a very long time to contemplate their futures. For argument's sake, since the summer, but like you can talk about going back to this time last year, the writing was on the wall that the team was bad last year.
Yeah.
That they were going to be trading all, you know, as much as they could at the trade deadline, and then into the summer making moves, getting rid of DeBrincat and Doc, and not bringing back Strome and Kubalik, and I would say that they've almost had a year to kind of think about, what is my future with this organization? And now we're coming down to the trade deadline being, 5 weeks away? Kyle Davidson needs some time to figure out, you know, the finer points of his trade deadline plan, and if it is going to involve Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. And if it is, they can't say the morning of March 3rd, hey, you know what? We've made our decision.
Yeah.
We need to be traded. Like, no. Okay, well, now it's screwed. The trade market's already, probably by that time, has already been set. And for the Blackhawks, like, there are going to be teams that need, obviously there's teams that need help at center and at wing, and the Blackhawks don't want to go into their trade deadline plans being like, well, we can give you Max Domi, but not knowing what the future is for Toews and Kane, if they could go to a team and say, well, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews are available, you could get a bigger haul from that team. You don't want to sell yourself short if those guys end up wanting a trade. So, you know, we've heard the reports. They're going to have this meeting in January. Here we are. It's the final week of January, and we have heard nothing about this meeting.
Except now it's February.
Now it's their decisions are going to be mid-February. Like, it's all up in the air. So look, like they're on their road trip right now. Kyle Davidson is traveling out on the road trip with the team. Pat Brisson, I believe, is a worldly man. He can get on a plane and get out there, and if they need to rent a book a conference room at the local DoubleTree or whatever and hammer out these details, like, let's get this meeting going.
You've got a bye week coming up and an all-star break. There'll be no practices getting in the way. There'll be no team activities getting in the way. Enough is enough. Sit down and figure it out.
Yeah.
If you guys want to stay, great. Just get it out there so we can move on and prepare for the rest of the year. Yeah, it's time to, you know, to make your moves, to make your decisions. Because, you're not going to be able to facilitate a trade for Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews where you're talking complications with salary cap and retentions and possibly third teams having to get involved. You can't just snap your fingers and put something like that together. You need time to do that. Plus, you know, you don't know how many teams you're going to get the luxury of talking to. We could talk all we want about what teams are interested in Patrick Kane. If he doesn't want to play there, that trade's not going to happen. He may just say, I only want to go to one team.
Yeah.
And if that team doesn't want him or can't afford him or can't give you his value, well, then you're getting nothing.
Well, see, that's the other thing, too, is like we saw last year with Dylan Strom, obviously not the same player as Patrick Kane, but like the Hawks' best offer, it was like a 6th-round pick.
Yeah.
And they're just like, well, no, we'll just keep him. Like, right. We're not going to just trade him just to trade him. And
doing right by the player.
Right. But then if Kane and Toews say, well, we want it, like, we're ready to move on, trade us, do you owe them a trade? See, that's the other thing. If they say, okay, we've decided we want to be traded, do you let the deadline pass and say, we didn't get enough for you, we didn't get a big enough offer for you, so we're keeping you? Then what happens?
No, I think because you have the process of them waiving that no movement clause, that's going to be everywhere. If they come to you and say I'm making this contractual decision to get rid of this clause so that you can trade me, if Kyle Davidson then doesn't, I think that's a huge problem.
Because
with Strome, he didn't have any protections,
right?
So it was just like, well, we didn't just want to ship him somewhere that he had no say in for almost nothing in return.
Yeah,
they were like, well, we'll do him some justice, let him play out the season, and then figure it out for himself in the summer. For these guys, like, if they say we want to be traded, you at that point, you have to do it. Maybe if you get a shitty return, it's better than nothing.
It's better than letting them walk for nothing.
Exactly. Yeah,
like, you can live with saying, well, you let Dylan Strome go for nothing. Well, we weren't going to get anything for him.
Right.
So you can't say, well, we let Patrick Kane walk for nothing. That's not going to look good.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, too, that while we don't know, agents work back channels. They've got an idea of what teams would be interested. Pat Brisson knows which teams Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane would play for. He knows that today.
Oh, absolutely.
He probably knew that 6 months ago. He probably knew that a year ago, whatever. Mm-hmm. So he's probably working those back channels, talking to GMs. Hey, what kind of a package could you put together? Let me talk. It all kind of works in concert. You know, it's not as like cut and dry as like trade us. Oh, yeah. Where would you like to be traded?
When he gets the official, like, okay, if and when he gets the we're gonna waive this deal, he's gonna know exactly where he needs to start looking. Like, nothing is gonna catch him off guard.
Exactly.
Right? I don't think there are no secrets. Many secrets behind the curtain in professional sports.
Yeah, so. And you can piece together, you know, a couple puzzle pieces and say, well, this team would make sense, and this team would make sense, and, you know, get an idea of that.
Let's get to your big board in the next segment, but first I want to remind everybody about Green Ridge Farm. They are a Chicago local meat and cheese company offering you a better all-natural option. The amazing deli meats. Get that Caminito ham. Even the deli paper is good. I know from experience. Their sausages, their famous meat sticks, perfect for tailgating, happy hour, school lunches, all those things. The meat sticks, which are incredible, are all natural and hardwood smoked for 8 hours with 16 grams of protein per stick. They make a perfect post-shoveling snack. Mm. Meat sticks come in chicken, Black Forest beef, and flavors like jalapeno cheddar, and my absolute favorite, the spicy chili. If you haven't tried these yet, you don't know what you're missing. They are absolutely incredible. They got the deli meats at the Jules, at the Pete's, at the Costco's, all those places. You can find the meat sticks at Costco, the giant pack of the meat sticks. That'll get you through for a while. Sam's Club as well, or, of course, your Chicagoland grocery store. Right now, order any three meat products at greenridgefarm.com and include a pack of meat sticks in your cart. Those meat sticks will be free simply by using code CHGO at checkout. Green Ridge Farm, simply natural meat.
I was dragging my daughter around in her little sled after our meeting today out in the snow, and she was absolutely loving it, so that was a lot of fun. And it was my first experience being a sledding dad, and my quads were killing me, so the post-workout snack definitely was going to come in handy from Green Ridge there today. So I always thought about that. I was just like, oh, well, you know, why did my dad always like need a nap after going sledding? Now I get it. He was pulling us up and down hills, uphill both ways. But you know, it's what you do. What also helps after a day of dragging a sled around is some delicious Goose Island beverages.
Oh yeah.
And we, if you haven't noticed, are sponsored and supported by the Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer since 1988.
Honk honk.
A couple late geese getting south for the winter, but Goose Island of course has their incredible deep beer roster, deeper than any Stanley Cup contender out there. Of course, the Blackhawks Pale Ale, which you can see front and center on your screen there. The limited release Blackhawks Pale Ale, perfect for celebrating the very few wins that come this season, and perfect for forgetting the many losses, and will be perfect for when the ping pong balls come in our favor for Connor Bedard later this year to celebrate. Of course, also limited release, the Bulls City 312, which is a great-looking can. National Beer Can Appreciation Day yesterday. Yeah. Everyone appreciates a good
can. Big day.
Can.
Almost took the day off.
So Goose Island has the roster set. Of course, the Bourbon County Stout for all of you darker beer aficionados. The Beer Hug IPA series. Green Line, Matilda, all your favorite beers coming from Goose Island. They are delicious and just good on a nice winter's day. Of course, the 312 as well, the staple of Goose Island. Their two locations are open and ready to welcome you. You can grab a beer right from their innovation tanks at the Goose Island Tap Room at 1800 West Fulton. Or if you prefer to get a nice burger with your beer, you can get one at the Clybourne Brewhouse, the original Clybourne Brewhouse at 1800 North Clybourne. For reservations and for pickup orders, go to gooseisland.com/locations. Again, that is the Goose Island Beer Company, our newest friends at CHGO.
All right, Mario wrote about it for allchgo.com this week, the Blackhawks big board. You've got 8 players on the board.
Yep.
I think we've talked a lot about Kane, who is your number one, and Taves, who is your number three
mm-hmm.
at the moment. So should we spend time on the also rans on your list, the non-Taves and non-Kane players?
Non-Taves and non-Kane, sure. Yeah, so right between those two big guys, I got Max Domi. Just because we talked about it last night, outside of his misjudgments in his physical play last night, which cost him 17 minutes, and Peter Mrazek probably a headache this morning, but he's been the most effective player that they've had in the role that he's been able to play. Top line center Max Domi, I don't think any of us expected that when he was brought in here, but he was brought to this team for the purpose of being flipped. He leads the team in points, leads the team in goals, and you know, he's a guy that contending teams will want to have. Someone who can play in a depth role, who can score, who can be physical, who can play Stanley Cup playoff hockey. Like, that's a huge thing that contending teams want to make sure that they have on their roster. And like we mentioned, like, there's teams that need help at forward that may not want to pay the big prices that Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Bo Horvat, Timo Meier, guys like that that are on the market are going to garner. But Domi, as this season has gone on, his value has gone up. Could the Blackhawks get a first round pick for Max Domi? I don't think it's the craziest thing to potentially happen, but I wouldn't bank on it. I think if you can, like we were talking about with McCabe, if you could get a second round pick and a mid grade prospect, that's a win.
So here's something to think about as we go into this, and obviously the answer will be different for every GM. How much does reputation play a role here? Because people look at Max Domi as a guy who's jumped around, hasn't really been able to stick anywhere, hasn't really been outstanding anywhere.
Yeah.
But if you're watching Hawks games and if you're properly scouting Max Domi, you're seeing a guy with incredible value. And on the other hand, are you at the deadline looking at Jonathan Toews and saying, that's Jonathan Toews, 3 Stanley Cups, gold medals, Conn Smythe, all these things?
Yeah.
Or are you looking at the guy now? That's the question, and again, it changes GM to GM. If Domi is being properly scouted, I could see him, especially if he keeps this going and maintains what he's been doing so far, which why wouldn't he? I could see him really garnering a lot of interest at the deadline because he's affordable. $3 million if the Hawks don't need any salary. It's done after this year, so it is just a playoff rental. But, man, the guy who can play center, can play wing, can play in the power play, kill penalty, whatever you need him to do, he can do. And I don't know, I went back and watched a show from this summer before free agency, and we were going through the list. And when Max Domi came up, we all went, eh.
Yeah.
And that's the reputation he has. Hopefully, his time here has changed that reputation a little bit, because that is exactly what he was intending when he signed a one-year deal with the Hawks. He wanted to come here, prove that he could be a top-line player, put up the points, and here he is, the Blackhawks leading scorer.
His best career season came when he was with Montreal, which had Luke Richardson on the staff, and that was something that intrigued him about coming to Chicago. And, yeah, having the opportunity to play a elevated role, something that he hasn't really had with other organizations that he's been with, other than maybe Arizona, but – you know, I think that was a big selling point for him to come here. And, yeah, he's done everything asked of him from the Blackhawks organization. And, you know, off the ice, the guys love him in the locker room.
Yeah.
And so that's a big factor, too. I would say, you know, it's a mixture of both, you know, the reputation and the current play. But I don't think he's – I think when you factor in both, you look at the way he's playing, I don't think there's any reason a GM should – necessarily be afraid of bringing him in, especially for it's, you're just bringing him in for 3 months. Like,
he's not a
Tom Wilson. You're not investing in him.
Yeah. He's not a liability where he's one stupid move away from getting suspended for 5 games. He's not one of those guys.
No.
We'll look. You know what's a good turn for Domi? That's what no raids, no Roy, whatever. You know who he is.
The original.
Yes, the original one. There's too many.
The OG.
Too much roids and rage bouncing around these chat rooms lately. Last season, Columbus, in 53 games, he had 9 goals, 23 assists. Only 77 shots on goal. In 46 games for the Hawks, he's got 14 goals, 19 assists, 105 shots. So he was not having a great year last year, and he was traded to Carolina at the deadline as part of a 3-team deal. Columbus got a mid-level defensive prospect in return for Max Domi last year. So that's only a year ago. Now, granted, he's been much better this year, but he's also playing in an elevated role. He was never the Columbus's top-line center last year.
No.
I don't think a team that's going to acquire him at the deadline is looking for him to be a top-line center. So you got to keep that in mind. Even with the numbers jumped up, you know, I wouldn't think you would get a huge return. Now, maybe that can change. Teams get desperate. A team gets an injury right before the deal, or a team misses out on, you know, your Bo Horvats, your Jonathan Toews, all your these bigger names, and then maybe they say, well, we got to get somebody, and that drives up the price a little bit. I mean, right now, if some team offered me a second-round pick for Max Domi, I am taking it in a heartbeat. And not even, so I would think that's a best-case scenario right now is a second-round pick. Maybe, you know, a third and a mid-level prospect, you know, a B prospect and a third.
Sure.
Something I wouldn't be thinking about getting a first-round pick for Max Domi at this point. Now, we have a month before the deadline. Things can change, but my advice is to temper the expectations on the Max Domi return. Things can change over the next 4 weeks, but just based on what he pulled last year and based on, you know, a lot of other things, like Toronto Maple Leafs aren't going to call Max Domi to be their top line center. So no. You're not going to pay the price for a top line. Just because he's the number one center here, he's probably going to be a third line center or winger wherever he's going. So they're not – those teams aren't going to pay – for a number one center, they're going to pay for what they're going to use him for. So that's going to take the price down.
Right. If you look at his playoff stats, 2019-2020 in Montreal, played 10 playoff games, had 3 assists, averaging 14 minutes of ice time. So that's third
playoff
line.
Playoff games.
Right? And then you've got last season with Carolina, played 14 games, 3 goals, 3 assists, but only playing 10 minutes per game.
He was
that's
on their
like
fourth
a fourth line. Role.
He was on their fourth line.
Yeah. So, you know, that's really what – Max Domi is to a contender, but you know, hopefully with what he has shown this year in Chicago, teams will look at him in a different way. Because again, getting back to the reputation thing, like my thoughts on Max Domi before he was a Hawk were kind of like malcontent, bit of a head case, kind of a problem, bad penalties, underachiever, all those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And he's been anything but those things this season, save for his two brain malfunctions with the misconducts that he's had this season.
Yeah.
Other than that, he's been really good. Yeah, we've gotten frustrated that he's not shooting, but okay, no player is perfect. Other than that, he's been a complete success.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely come in and played above expectation. And I think, you know, teams looking at that, you know, that he's playing a top line center role, I think they're not going to say, oh, well, he's going to be our top line center, but they can know, okay, here's a guy that can play up and down the lineup. If we need him to play an elevated role, he can do it because he's done it all season. He's played 18 plus minutes a night. He's played with, you know, the best players on the roster consistently. He's played on the power play. He's able to do that. He's not coming in as, well, here's a guy that we're kind of taking a chance on. Let's stick him on the fourth line and see what he can do. This is a player that could step into a third line role, second line role, whatever you need him to do. There could be a team that, you know, in the next few weeks has an injury and it's just like, shoot, now our second line right wing is gone.
Yep.
You know, and they have to fill that spot. So I think what he has proven this season is that he can be a versatile player, and that if you need him to play center, what he's done this year is impressive at the center position. Like he came into the year as kind of a center, kind of a wing, and was under what 45% at the faceoff dot in the two like full seasons he played center. He's at 55% this year.
Yeah.
Like that's impressive.
All right, let's move on to the next part of the list. We talked about Jonathan Toews. We spent the first part of the show talking about Jake McCabe. That's 3 and 4 on your list. Coming in at number 5 is Andreas Athanasiou.
Yeah, a lot like Domi, came in on an identical contract for the exact same reason of being flipped at the trade deadline. He's been fine. He's, you know what? I'll put a little bit better of a spin on Andreas Athanasiou. He has been exactly what we expected him to be. He is fast. He is not afraid to just get the puck and take it to the net, and he is not great at finishing those chances.
Right.
And, you know, at the United Center, once a night, you will hear the crowd go, oh, oh. And without looking up from our computers, we can go, well, that was Athanasiou. And
or maybe 1 in 10 is Blackwell.
Yes, sometimes it's Colin Blackwell. But, you know, there's definitely an element that he brings to a contending team that makes him an attractive piece. The speed, of course, is his biggest attribute. And, you know, I wrote about it in the piece. Like, he could be someone who plays on a third or fourth line as a speed option, as a guy who's just, you know, can just break a game, get a breakaway, and have a scoring chance like that at an important time. He's also a guy that you could put on the penalty kill. The Blackhawks have tried it a few times this season. Put him on the penalty kill and use his speed as a weapon against against the team's power play. The trend in hockey in the last couple of years has to try and make your penalty kill a little bit more about counterattacking and a little bit less of just weathering the two-minute storm. He's a guy that could do that. And I think, you know, if there's a contending team that wants to maybe add that to their arsenal, he's a guy that you could look at very cheap to bring in and as a rental and be that kind of depth spark plug.
Yeah, and I think if you have visions of a top first, second, or third rounder, no shot.
No shot.
This would be a flyer. This would be either a kind of a throwaway prospect or a late round pick.
One of those conditional picks.
Yeah,
like, it's yeah, a fifth like rounder. A conditional third. If they make it to the conference final or something,
otherwise, it's a fifth round.
If he like how Marc-Andre Fleury was a first round pick if they won the cup or whatever.
Remember the press release?
Yeah, it's a first round pick if they reach the cup final and he wins four games. Like, okay, it's a second then.
Yeah, it's
like,
a second round pick. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, a fantasy could do something like that, and something that is, you know, could be part of a Domi deal, could be part of a fantasy deal, is. Maybe not just getting a pick back or a prospect. The Blackhawks can have flexibility with their cap space. They could take a garbage contract back with some of these guys and be like, okay, here's Andreas Athanasiou. We'll take your bad contract and your third round pick. And that could be in play too with a lot of these guys.
Could you possibly see a scenario? You got both of these guys on identical deals where you trade them both to the same team. Team that's really looking to bolster their bottom six.
Sure.
Why not? You get them both to some team, and then you sweeten the deal for both of them. You know,
if there's a team that has that cap room, and
I mean, you don't really need a ton of cap room. What are they each at? What, three?
Well, they're both $3 million.
All right. Yeah. So
I know the cap room to actual dollars, right. You know, but you just have to be cap
but,
compliant.
I mean, it could be an interesting thing to say.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe that's one of those where you take the bad money in return and you give them both.
And you, yeah.
We'll take your bad contract and your second round pick.
We'll take Milan Lucic and your second round pick, and here's Domi and Athanasiou. Well,
sounds good to me. I'll do that.
Be
entertaining at least.
Yeah, let's see how bad the Canucks want to get rid of Oliver Ekman-Larsson's contract.
I've always really liked him.
That's more of an
so they can bolster their playoff run that they're now on.
Right.
1-0 under Rick Tocchet.
Rick Tocchet has changed everything. They responded so well to the coaching staff. So who? I mean, come on. I mean, the Canadian market has never overreacted to anything.
No, never.
They're right on the money.
No.
Rick Tocchet has got those Canucks ready for a Stanley Cup run here.
Hey, we got four NFL teams left, two conference championship games, and only a few more shots to win big on the playoffs with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 57, kind of 57 just blows my mind. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Not a new customer? That's no problem. You could feel the conference championship thrills with stepped-up same-game parlays. Take your shot at an even bigger NFL payout and boost your winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. I am all in on the 49ers. I just want to see them do well.
Brock Purdy?
Just because their uniforms are freaking perfect.
I don't know. I'm going for the Eagles. I want to see Jalen Hurts win a Super Bowl because we've got a quarterback that's very similar to Jalen Hurts. Yeah, so seeing him succeed.
Philly is just insufferable.
Not as bad as Boston or New York.
I don't want them to win either.
Well, good thing neither of them are in the playoffs anymore.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 on the conference championships and get $200 in free bets instantly. Listen, you sign up. You put the $5 in. There's another $200 in free bets instantly. Whether you win or lose, it happens immediately. Do it. It's a no-brainer. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes below. Or if you're listening to the podcast on your phone
today
for details.
Yeah, and you know what else?
Nailed it.
Got it. That was good stuff. I'm ready to bet on the 49ers. Hey, while we, you know, watching football, tailgating is a part of football. And cornhole is a part of tailgating. And if you want to get yourself the best, coolest looking, most unique cornhole sets, you need to check out Chi-Town Custom Cornhole, the number one cornhole provider for Chicagoland and Illinois since 2007. Their signature box style can be digitally printed, covered in vinyl, and painted. Their cornhole boards, or bags, as we like to say in Chicago, come with built-in drink holders. You could throw your Goose Island cans in there while playing a spirited game of bags. The drink holders are recessed right in the back, so they're out of the way. You're never going to have another spilled beverage hit by a wayward bag. I hate getting hit by wayward bags.
It's worse. We all do.
Wasn't that a song by Boston, Wayward Bags?
I believe
anyway,
so.
they also have LEDs that light up the hole so you can see the hole in the dark, and that's important. And exterior handles for easy carrying and handcrafted scorekeepers. They got these little like abacus things. So not only will you not spill your beer, if you've had a few too many beers, you don't even have to like keep trying to remember what the score is. The board will do it for you. They are veteran-owned and operated. They can ship anywhere and also offer local pickups, specializing in corporate designs for your company's next marketing or social event, wedding gifts, and gifts for all occasions, especially for tailgaters and barbecue dads, like you have one in your family
these days. Yes, I do. My daughter dresses barbecue dad for dress-up day at school.
She nailed it.
I am offended.
Perfect. She was wearing all your clothes.
Yes, she was.
go check out their website, shytowncornhole.com, and make sure to follow them on Instagram at Chi-Town Custom Cornhole Boards. They got a really cool Instagram account.
See on the screen here, our friends at PHNX are also... with the Chi-Town Custom Cornhole Boards. They got a set sent out there, all PHNX'd out. Looks great.
Look awesome.
They did our CHGO boards, and they're fantastic. See, our friends over there in PHNX, they got it made.
You can play cornhole in January.
All 365 days. It's a little harder to play this time of year here. But we could get it going in the office. The ceilings are high enough.
Oh, for sure. You don't want to throw your cornhole bag that high anyways.
No.
You want to keep it low.
Yeah, keep your bag low.
Yep.
Not a problem these days.
Was it Leah that posted on Twitter that it was 50 degrees in Arizona, and I was like, wow, thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, poor.
Hey, my parents are in Arizona right now. It is 50. They were like just a couple hours north of Scottsdale. There's snow over there.
So rough.
The planet's on fire.
How could
but
you do
anyways.
It? Oh, it's tough. It's so bad. Next up on our big board is defenseman Connor Murphy. He comes in at number 6 on our trade deadline big board. I think this is like the Jake McCabe conversation.
Copy-paste.
Maybe a little bit less of a return, perhaps, but very similar conversation.
Well, so he's making $0.4 million more per year than McCabe for one extra year. So he has it. Actually, a team could look at it as a positive because they have an extra year of term at being cost controlled. And look, like the teams that need defensive help are Toronto and Edmonton, and Los Angeles is in play as well. I think Murphy and McCabe are similar, a little different, but similar enough to where you know exactly what you're going to get with those guys. Connor Murphy hasn't played real Stanley Cup playoff games, and I know that he is chomping at the bit to get that experience. And I think he'd be a guy that could get into a contending team's rotation and be able to step up to the plate in that kind of elevated environment. He's not the most physically imposing guy, but he definitely plays a physical style. He's not one to usually get bumped around in front of the net, and everything outside of murder is allowed in the playoffs. And Murphy and McCabe especially are two guys that can play that style, and I think teams would be interested in looking at. On the flip side, the 3 years of Murphy, you could also look at that as a bad thing. It could be like, well, we want him, but we don't want him for that long. And if a team it looks at it as a good thing, then that's good for the Blackhawks. But I think there's going to be fewer teams chomping to get Murphy as there are McCabe.
Yeah, chronic back issues don't get better.
Yes. Right.
They've been fortunate that the injury problems that he's been dealing with the past couple years have not reared their ugly head so far this season. But, yep. You know, it's only halfway through. I mean, that's got to be a concern for any team. You know, McCabe is another guy that can get, you know, he was, you know, had his problems last year. I mean, he had the surgery to help with the back and all that stuff. So those are obviously concerns. But, you know, if Connor Murphy is the missing piece to your Stanley Cup puzzle for this year, you'll deal with those other 3 years later.
Sure.
We used to have a guy here that worried about 3 years later, 3 years from now.
Or just didn't worry about it at all.
Exactly. So it's like if Connor Murphy is your last, or if Jake McCabe is the guy that you have to have that you think is the final piece of the puzzle, you're going to go get him.
I just don't
see any team that's the scenario this point.
At the same time, though, I can't look at a team that says we need help on defense that's affordable and good and find better value than those two guys.
Right. It's going to be a team that thinks that they're not, maybe they're contending this year, but also for the next 2 to 3 seasons as well.
Mm-hmm. I just can't. Whenever I think of those two as trade assets, I think of what Johnny Oduya meant to the Hawks.
Yeah.
Because that was more than one season.
Yeah, and he was not perfect. And when he came from New Jersey, it was like, well, you know, he's like a 4 and kind of iffy. You put him with Nicholas Hjalmarsson, and that dude is a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And for both Murphy and McCabe to go to a contender, they're going to be paired with, well, McCabe's been with Seth Jones, but chances are they're going to be paired with a pretty good partner.
Right.
Right. And will therefore play their best hockey they've ever played. So if I'm a GM and I'm looking to bolster my defense, McCabe and Murphy are two of the first guys I'm inquiring about.
Yeah. Yeah. And the market will definitely dictate what teams do. Those two guys are not the top defensemen available, but obviously, as with like Adomi or Nathanasiou and Jonathan Toews as well, teams that miss out on the big guys are going to then potentially go down their list and be like, okay, we missed out on, for whatever reason, Vladislav Gavrikov is out there. I don't know. You can't convince me. But Chychrun. If we miss out on him or miss out on Chychrun, like, okay, we need to do something. Let's see what we can do for a McCabe or a Murphy.
Well, we look at Toronto, we look at Edmonton. What's been their problem for multiple years outside of goaltending?
Management.
Obviously. No, I mean, on defense. The ice. With defense and goaltending.
Yeah.
Stopping goals.
It's been a problem repeatedly. Every year we say the same thing about the Oilers, the same thing about the Maple Leafs. Jake McCabe or Connor Murphy solves that problem for the rest of this season and at least the next two.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to spend money on the free agency market for a defenseman the next summer. Mm-hmm. You can focus on another need you need. It takes care of a need you need this season and in the off season. Then you don't have to go out and get another defenseman because you traded for a rental.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing too, from the Hawks' perspective, is I think it's easier for them to trade defensemen because they've got more guys they feel they can call up and play in the NHL level.
Yeah.
Forward-wise, it's iffy.
Right.
You got Reichel who can come up. Luke Flip is here already.
If they trade
Slavin.
If they trade the big four forwards, Reichel and his band of merry men come up. Like
Reichel, Cini, Gutman.
Yeah. Luke Flip. Yeah.
Slavin.
Slavin, Tepley, you know, Dylan Sakura. Hey.
Let's do it.
Come on back.
Let's do it.
Yeah,
way back Wednesdays.
There's definitely the young depth defensively that if Murphy and or McCabe are gone, you'll probably see Isaac Phillips full-time up here to end the season. You might see the return of Alec Regula or Alex Vlasic or Philip Roos gets back into the lineup, things like that.
Yeah. Noah Royd says, I would say McCabe is having a better season than Klingberg. There's no doubt that he's having a better year. Right, but again, that goes to the reputation, the sample size, and all that stuff.
But Klingberg's a little more sexier because he puts up the offense.
Yeah.
He's way cheaper, though.
Yeah.
Way cheaper.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
and it's not a rental. Klingberg would be a rental.
Right.
McCabe McCabe can solve problems for you, multiple problems, makes you better this season. Then you don't have to go shopping for a defenseman because you're not going to get a Jake McCabe on the open market this summer for $4 million.
Ooh, or $2 million.
Right.
Hell no.
Or $2 million. Yeah, yeah, exactly, right. If you're retaining.
And there are two guys.
Multiple problems for some of these teams.
And they're two guys that are batshit crazy and love to block shots. Like, that is
Jake McCabe was made for playoff hockey.
For sure. Exactly. And he's never played it.
Right. Playoff-style defenseman.
He is.
Get that guy into a playoff game and get out of his way.
He'll be the guy with, you were talking about Chara, with the end of the season injury list. Yeah. I have 4 broken legs, 6 pulled groins,
yeah.
1 tooth left.
I have no ribs intact, but I'm I feel great, and I'll be out there.
All right, we've got 2 guys left on the list. We've got number 7. Sam Lafferty, whose name has surfaced recently with connection to the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, we're really not trying to make this a Blackhawks and Maple Leafs show, but hey, look.
Click, 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 click.
Hey, look, the market is the market. Yeah, Sam Lafferty, I think he's a lot like Athanasiou, but with a little bit more of an edge to his game. Which, hey, Stanley Cup playoffs, you got to have an edge to your game to survive and succeed. So he's a guy that's fast, hard worker. You're not going to question his effort level on pretty much 99% of the games he plays. We've seen a little bit more of an offensive jump in him this season, which is great. And yeah, look, Toronto's a team that they need cheap guys that can bolster their depth. Lafferty is got this season and next at $1.15 million. He is a depth guy who's very cheap, and I would say is probably worth a little bit more than $1.15 million the way he's playing. So,
yep.
Look, you got to add speed. You got to add some energy, some effort level. Good character guy. That's why he was stuck around here in Chicago after being brought in last season. So, yeah, I think he's a guy that could fit a lot of teams, and Toronto was recently kind of paired together. So there's a guy that I think could be one of those underrated moves that makes a difference.
Good question from Bijan. Who has more trade value, Athanasiou or Lafferty? If I'm a GM, I'd give up more for Lafferty.
Yeah, because you get another year.
And I just think
he's more effective overall.
I think so, too.
Lafferty does a little bit more, where Athanasiou is a speed guy. He's fast.
Yeah.
He's fast. And he's fast. Lafferty is fast, but he also plays defense, can be on the penalty kill.
Yeah.
In fairness, though, Athanasiou is also fast.
Yes, he's very fast.
Yeah.
That's what they tell me.
But and speedy. So.
He's quick, too. Yeah. Quick and fast.
Yeah.
I would be sad if Sam Lafferty got traded just because the Don't Laugh with Lafferty segment at the United Center is my favorite thing in years. It's Sam Lafferty and somebody else on the Blackhawks, and they tell each other awful. But they've done a couple other guys. It's been
there's a few.
But they, so it's like Lafferty and McKenzie Entwistle, and they sit there and they tell each other bad dad jokes, and you get a point if you make the other guy laugh.
Yeah.
And you just can't help but not laugh at every single one of them, even though they're terrible jokes.
They're so bad.
Like, that value alone should get you a first-round pick.
Yes.
We'll give you Sam Lafferty and the rights to Don't Laugh with Lafferty.
Look, and you get a discount on his dental work because he's missing, like, 8 teeth all in the front of his mouth.
He's missing them all. So,
he's hockeyest hockey player ever.
Yeah. I like Sam Lafferty a lot for a lot of different reasons, but man, if there's somebody calling you looking to make it worth your while, you obviously make that trade.
And worth your while with Sam Lafferty is like, what's the ceiling? A 5th round pick?
Oh, I wouldn't trade him for a 5th.
No, I'd keep him for a 5th.
You know,
I would. I don't think I would trade him for less than a 3rd.
I don't think you're going to get that though.
Then don't trade.
I won't trade him.
Okay.
Well, you need guys that can play. Yeah.
You got to have guys after the deadline and next year that can play.
Yeah.
And Lafferty could be one of those guys that maybe he sticks around past his contract if they don't trade him. So if you want to trade him, I think, you don't trade him just to trade him. Someone calls and says, we'll give you a 5th round pick for Sam Lafferty. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, and he was the first move of consequence of Kyle Davidson's tenure as interim GM before he was a full-time GM. Yeah, turned out really well. The return on that trade has been through the roof, pound for pound.
Kyle Davidson has done pretty darn good on the trades. Now, I know people are going to say, hey, the DeBrincat deal. Okay, he didn't get what we all thought he should have gotten, but he got what the market bared. You know, Kevin Krejcinski may make us all forget about that a few down the road. But you look at the Lafferty for Alex Nylander. That was a pretty good trade. Mm-hmm. Look what he got. He got Jason Dickinson and a second round pick for Riley Stillman, who has been a healthy scratch pretty much for the last month for mm-hmm. Vancouver. He can't even get on the ice. So you got a serviceable, yep. pretty darn good forward for your team right now, and a second round pick mm-hmm. because they needed to clear that $2 million of cap space.
They really needed that yep. cap space. Well, so they got to pay
Rick Tocchet.
You got to pay those coaches to not coach your team.
Yeah, I mean, that's why going into this trade deadline, it's huge for Kyle Davidson. But I have some confidence in him. Like, I think he's proven that he's not just going to take anything. We saw that with, everybody thought Calvin DeHaan was a shoo-in to get traded last year.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't get what I wanted for him, so it was just better to keep him. You know, he didn't trade Kubalik or Strom when he could have because it just wasn't there. So, Look,
he has shown he will stick to his guns.
And that's all I want out of my general manager.
Yeah, like he's not going to be bullied by another GM. He's not going to be bullied by the media or fans to do, like, keep Lucas Reichel up. Nope. I want to lose. Mm-hmm. He's not coming up. It's tough to do that.
It's a belief in your plan. It's very much betting on himself as a GM. And
why not?
And we said when he took over, a lot of what he was going to do was scrub the previous guy's name off the walls, and he's doing that, and he's writing his own.
Yeah.
So that's props for that.
All right, last guy on the list coming in at number 8, goaltender Alex Stalock, who, as we know, has been dealing with injury issues all year. Another concussion suffered in practice. Was it last week? Probably.
About a week ago.
It's tough. I mean, he's been great. He's really cheap. He's a great guy. Everybody loves him. Will he be healthy, and will a team be willing to give up an asset for a guy who might not be on the ice?
That's the biggest issue.
I can't see there being much of a market for him at this point. If he never suffered that second concussion, I mean, you're talking two concussions within 2 months. It's not good. So I can't see anybody really jumping over themselves for a guy that has essentially been a career backup. He's looked good in the small sample size, but every time he gets into his groove, he's not there anymore.
Not his fault.
No, absolutely not his fault. So I just don't see much of a market. He's a guy that, like, I would have zero issue if they brought back next year.
No,
everybody in that locker room loves him. You're going to probably go with another young goalie next year. You know, maybe you figure out something with Mrazek, a buyout or something like that. You've got nothing but cap space, so don't worry about it. Buy out Mrazek's last year. Mm-hmm. Bring back Stalock on the cheap and let him and Soderblom be the 1A, 1B next year and go with it.
Love it.
You know, bring in another veteran guy to be your AHL guy and emergency call up when, if Stalock can't stay healthy.
Well, Jackson Stauber will be around again. I think he's on a 2-year deal.
Sure, but or bring in like one of those journeyman vet guys down there too that can that knows he's going to spend most of the year in the AHL and can be the vet down there as well, because if you do have to bring up Jackson Stauber, you still need somebody that can some scramble around down there as well.
JF Berube available.
I'm sure he is. You know, you can never have too many viable goaltenders.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't hurt.
The Hawks probably wish they had one of those veteran guys in the AHL this year with all the times they've had to get the shuffle going. But I just don't see anybody calling for Alex Stalock right now.
Yeah, the injury concerns, the health concerns are definitely real. I think concussions are, they're their own case each time. You can't predict what a timeline is actually going to be. But if he were to come back before the deadline, put a couple games together where he looks like the guy that he has been all season, I think that would be great. And look, like there are teams out there that could look at it and be like, well, we need an insurance policy in that. And if Alex Stalock if they feel like he could be healthy and he could be available, $750,000 against the cap, like league minimum.
Yeah,
but that could
no
be.
Issues with cap space there. For argument's sake, is Seattle convinced that Martin Jones is going to be able to take his sub .900 save percentage into the playoffs? Like, you know.
And it could be another one of those deals like Tahan last year. Like, I'm not going to trade this guy just to trade him.
Right, yeah.
He may have a discussion. You know, Stalock is a family man. He's got two young kids. He may be like, I don't want to go anywhere. Like, so unless you get an amazing offer for him that you can't say no to, you know, maybe that's he's a guy that everybody loves where they just go, we're not just going to trade him just to trade him.
Right.
It's not worth it. We're not going to have him pick unless, you know, something he wants to do. But, you know, we'll see. I would not expect an Alex Stalock trade to happen this year. One quick thing, Region Rev asking any update on Jujhar Khaira. No, we have not seen him. He's dealing with another back injury. Again, guys with back problems, they don't seem to go away. He hasn't been even skating, not even before practices. I know he didn't go on the road trip, so that's not anytime soon for him. Maybe after the bye week, when they get back on the ice, we'll see him at least skating ahead of time. Maybe, but the fact that he's hasn't even skated in the last 2 or 3 weeks tells me it's not anytime soon for him.
Yeah, it's tough. Another real good character guy, and you talk about deadline assets. That's a perfect kind of depth addition for a playoff team. But most important is his health and him getting back to where he needs to be physically. So, all right, before we wrap up, we want to let everybody know our CHGO takeover is Friday, February 10th. We told you it was selling out quickly. We are down to single-digit tickets available.
Mm-hmm.
And that was as of, 10 this morning.
This morning. And
you're going to want to jump on this.
There's at least one ticket that is gone since then. So,
all right. So jump on this today. If you've been on the fence, you've got to get in here. Why do you want to join us? Well, you get a ticket to the game to see the Hawks and Coyotes at the United Center. You get a free CHGO hockey t-shirt, an exclusive brand new design that has not been available yet until this event. You're going to get a free drink at the Goose Island Brewery there in the United Center, and the immaculate vibes of hanging out with the three of us and the CHGO Blackhawks fans for an entire hockey game. It's going to be an awesome time. Go to allchgo.com for information. Remember, if you are a diehard, you save 20% on this and all CHGO events. You also save on all CHGO merch at the CHGO locker. And upon sign up of being a diehard, you get a free shirt or hat. And again, that happens every year upon renewal. So this deal pays for itself. You go to a tailgate, you go to a takeover, and you get your free shirt, it's pretty much paid for itself. So come join us February 10th. Get those tickets before they're gone, allchgo.com.
And that takeover day on February 10th is one of just 5 home games left before the March 3rd trade deadline. So if we do eventually hear that Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews do want to get traded, you've got 5 chances left to see them in a Blackhawks uniform. If you're a huge Max Domi fan, you may only have 5 chances left to see him. Well, if you want to go see any of those other 5 games, make sure you check out our friends at Game Time, the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. They will get you the tickets you thought you never could buy. You want to sit in the 200 level? Bam, that's the best spot in the arena. You want to sit closer? You want to sit right behind the Blackhawks bench? They got those for you, too, and they have the biggest last-minute price drops on the seats you thought you could never buy. You won't find a better deal on Blackhawks tickets this season. My advice to you is hold out as long as possible. Wait till game day to purchase those tickets because usually the prices drop on the day of the game. And if you see a price on a ticket at another one of these, you know, not as good sites as Game Time, let them know and they'll match that price. If you love CHGO, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the podcast description. If you're watching on YouTube, hello, scroll down, hit that giant thumbs up button, and then right under that, you're going to see the link to click on to get your Blackhawks tickets or any tickets to whatever you want. If you're listening on any of our other great podcasts, platforms, you'll see the link in that description as well. So join over 15 million people who have used Game Time and score the best seats on all your favorite events.
All right, with that, we're going to wrap the show up. We are back tomorrow night after Hawks and Calgary Flames. That puck drops at 8 o'clock, so not quite as late of a game as last night. So make sure you join us on the post-game show. And reminder that we are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app. Use promo code CHGO. When you sign up on your way out, smash that like button for us. We'll talk to you Thursday night on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.